Welcome to Marvel.
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Come on in, wipe your shoes, take them off even. I got nice clean floors. Come on in with your socks. You know, let's have a day. Another crazy, crazy week in the NFL. But, you know, not only is the NFL continuing to stay hot, our league is heating up as far as the Build-A-Bear Bowl, as far as playoff positions. You know, we got some teams on the bubble. That's the best time of year in any sport when there's a section that's called in the hunt or on the bubble. I mean, whoo, doesn't get any better than that. There's three teams in our league that are fighting for two playoff positions. Those teams are Josh, Jason, and myself. It's a very interesting situation. We have, you know, Josh and Jason in the same division with Chris Roach leading that division heavily. So it looks like Josh and Jason would be out as far as getting a bye week. You can only get a bye week if you are a division winner. So you have to win your division and you're a top two division winner, and we have three divisions. So looks like Josh and Jason are going for those wild card spots. Now here's the situation. Jason is right above Josh because of points. Right now, they're both, I believe, 7-5. I think Josh has the better team over Jason. And then you throw my team in the mix, I'm a game behind those guys, so I'm still out of the playoff picture, but I'm on a two-week streak, winning streak. And I have more points than both of those boys. So if we all somehow ended up with the same record, I'm in. And, you know, they'd be fighting for the last spot. So this is what I forecasted a couple weeks ago, and it's coming into position. Now, I did not think Josh would be kind of fighting for a playoff spot with Jason. I thought it was going to be me versus Jason type situation. But it looks like, you know, Josh is only going to go as far as Justin Fields takes him. His team is unstoppable if Fields plays. So I'm sure he's going to be checking injury reports all week. And hopefully we get some more clarity than what they gave us last week. I mean, I'm a Justin Fields owner too in another league. Should I say manager? Is owner, is that like slave? No, I won't get into politics, but I'll just say, yeah, I own Justin Fields in another league. And, you know, I'm hoping he plays. So we'll see what happens moving forward. As far as cliff notes go this week, we got some interesting topics. So let's talk first about Josh Jacobs being the number two running back in fantasy football. Just unbelievable when Alicia drafted Jonathan Taylor, you know, at the 101. We thought he was going to be the staple, you know, the guy who gets her to what she is now. I believe she's 11-1, but no, it's because of Josh Jacobs. The guy is on a mission. Next up, Christian Watson. Watson now has 6 touchdowns in his last 3 games, and his latest one wasn't even from Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has a new oblique injury in addition to the broken thumb, so Jordan Love came in and helped Watson extend his streak. That was an unbelievable play. He is very, very, very fast. He looks like Mike Evans, but he's as fast as Tyreek Hill, and I'm not joking. So, you know, he just seems to be unstoppable. Tom has mentioned this player. Damian Pierce is in a major slump, and I think it has to do with the terrible offense and situation for the Texans. We'll talk about the power rankings in just a few moments. But Damian Pierce has only had 16 total rushing yards over his last 2 games. Awful. Next up, Isaiah Pacheco. He continues to be the lead back for the Kansas City Chiefs. He got 85% of the team's rushing share. He's a solid RB2 moving forward, but we do have Melvin Gordon coming in. So I just think Melvin Gordon's going to take whatever reps that Ronald Jones got this past week and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was getting. I still think Isaiah Pacheco is the dude. And lastly, the carousel for running backs for the New York Jets. Insane. Obviously, my sweet, sweet Breece Hall injured, out for the year. So the next two, the next man up was going to be Michael Carter. Michael Carter's been playing okay this season. The Jets go out and get James Robinson, a little bit of backup for him. So I grabbed James Robinson in a trade. I said, okay, the production's going to come from one of these two boys. Well, this past week, Zonovan Knight, a.k.a. Bam Knight, I'm a Jets fan, and I've never heard of this kid, came in and rushed for, had 103 scrimmage yards. Now, he's a, fifth-round undrafted rookie. I don't know if this is going to be the norm. Michael Carter's expected to be okay, but just goes to show you, sometimes ambiguous backfields can produce running backs, but for fantasy purposes, it's kind of a nightmare. As soon as Breece Hall went down, we still don't know who the guy is. Multiple running backs have had good games for the Jets this season. That was it for Cliff Notes. As far as power rankings go, we are going to go, start from the top as we always do. For the first time this year, the Kansas City Chiefs have been hovering right around number three for probably 10 weeks out of the year. They moved up to number two last week, and now at number one is the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes getting it done with every single weapon, quote unquote, on the team. He doesn't even have any, he has Travis Kelce, but everyone else is, they're just kind of guys, and he's making them look like awesome weapons out there. So they're going to be the team to beat, in my opinion. Next up would be the Minnesota Vikings at number two. And then right after them would be the Buffalo Bills. And the Eagles are right there at number four. I want to see them continue to, beat teams. They did beat the Packers, but they struggled a little bit in the first half. So, I'm splitting hairs here, but I got the Eagles right outside at number four. And again, if the Jets go in and beat the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, which I'm hoping for, then that would probably just flip-flop the Eagles and Vikings from two to four. The bottom three teams, pretty simple to me. Right now it's the Los Angeles Rams. We got Stafford most likely going to be shut down for the year. Cooper Kupp shut down for the year. Allen Robinson having season-ending surgery. And Aaron Donald now has a high ankle sprain. Those are literally all of their playmakers. The only one left is Jalen Ramsey. He's not going to be enough. I think they're the worst team in the NFL moving forward, at least. Next up would be probably the Chicago Bears if Justin Fields doesn't come back. If they shut him down, that team they look real bad. And Darnell Mooney is now out for the season. They're going to be second to last for me. And then the Houston Texans. I mean, you could rotate any of these three teams to the very bottom, but Houston Texans, they're going to probably have another new coach next year. They're like one and done with coaches lately. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have playmakers. Their defense is terrible. Their offensive line is terrible. Special team, everything about the Texans is brutal. But that's it for our power rankings. Later on in the show, don't forget our updated power rankings for our league will be talked about. But without any further ado, let's get down to the matchup of the week. We begin with the matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? Mr. Fahrenheit taking on Dawson Knox's Creek. 124 to 110. Fahrenheit takes the win. Let's take a look at the matchups. Jalen Hurts gets it done on Sunday Night Football while your boy was in the middle of the emergency room with his son. What a story. That could be on one of those It's my wish. One of those situations. It was little Cole Jensen's wish for his dad to beat his best friend Josh in a fantasy matchup. Jalen Hurts, 29 fantasy points, 153, and 2 touchdowns. As far as my dud goes, it's not his fault. Greg Dulcich. I blame this on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a terrible quarterback. And I know he's not too far removed from being a good quarterback, if not great, with Seattle. But man, oh man, Seattle Seahawks, they did the right thing. They got screwed in the Jamal Adams trade with the Jets, but they got all their picks back with this Russell Wilson trade. In contention was Mike Evans, who I believe had 9 targets in this game and only caught 2 of them for 31 yards. Him and Tom Brady are just not connecting. But I take the win. This was a huge matchup. That's why it is matchup of the week. 2 teams with really, really good rosters. There were finally no bye weeks. Josh did have the 1 injury to Justin Fields in a tough start-sit situation. Let's go over to his team. He was possibly wrestling with the idea of starting Shamaz A.P. Ryan, who had 17 points on his bench. But let's take a look at his squad. As far as your stud goes, James Conner, it's got to be a good situation for you moving forward. He's an RB1, in my opinion. Sometimes you just have to look at what the team does. And when they dropped Eno Benjamin when Conner came back, that's all the confidence you needed for a James Conner owner to keep starting him. 120 yards on the ground, a receiving touchdown, 19 fantasy points. As far as your dud goes, man, Christian Kirk, what a crazy situation where Zay Jones led the NFL in receiving this week. And it was an awesome back and forth game, Jaguars versus Ravens. And for some reason, Christian Kirk, I don't know if he's getting double covered. I highly doubt that, but only 4 receptions for 46 yards in a game that you could definitely consider a shootout. So kind of disappointing there for Josh. Nonetheless, puts up 110. I don't think it would have mattered possibly if Justin Fields started. He did get 18 points from Tom Brady. So if you move that 18 points to Justin Fields, I'm sure Fields maybe could have got on a high end 10 more points. Again, I beat Josh here by 14. So it doesn't look like that injury cost him. What it does look like, you know, if you paired that with the Shamaz A.P. Ryan, Shamaz, is that what I'm saying right now? I meant to say Shamaz A.P. Ryan, you know, on the bench. If you paired that with the Justin Fields, now we're talking. But to me, I was baiting him earlier in the week. I think he made the right start-sit situation. It looked like a terrible matchup for P. Ryan against the Tennessee Titans. So, of course, I was joking around with him. Hey, you know, what are you going to do? Who are you going to bench for P. Ryan? I think he made the right choice. It's all hindsight. But in the receiving game, P. Ryan is just unstoppable. He looks better than Joe Mixon in the receiving game, by the way. So it's going to be interesting when Mixon comes back. But nonetheless, I take the win and move to 6-6 on the year, 3rd place in points. I need a couple things to happen for me to make the playoffs. And one of them was beat Josh Benoit. Mr. Josh Benoit. So I'm happy with that. Josh moves to 7-5, still has a good record, hoping to get Justin Fields back next week. But we'll see, you know, what happens moving forward. Justin Fields has a bye week next week. Okay, so he's going to be moving on with Thomas, Patrick, Jeffrey, Brady. I don't know if that's his full name, but Josh is going to continue to start Tom Brady, it looks like. But we'll see what happens with this playoff pitcher. Nice matchup, Josh. All right, our next matchup is going to be Yeaters Skeeters taking on bye week. Gage, Aziz, and Jason takes the late win last night, Monday Night Football. Michael Pittman gets it done for him. Jason, a little bit off the schneid here, gets a nice win, much needed win, to be honest. Let's take a look at his team. Now, Josh Allen did Josh Allen things, you know, 30 fantasy points on Thanksgiving Day. But as far as your stud goes, Zay Jones, we just talked about him. He had DeAndre Hopkins-like numbers, 11 receptions for 145 yards, no touchdowns, 22 fantasy points with no touchdowns. We've talked about this before. That's really hard to do. So he was heavily involved. It was a shootout against the Baltimore Ravens, a good secondary. So Zay Jones is turning out to be a nice player. He's a perfect wide receiver too for an NFL franchise. Probably can't be the go-to guy every week, but him and Christian Kirk are kind of splitting those duties. You know, they're playing matchups, and it's working out for Zay Jones. As far as your dud goes, I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures. Jason took a, you know, a one-stop trip to Desperation Station with Jackson from Indianapolis. Deion Jackson, last second, you know, he wasn't even going to start a running back. So anyway, 0 points for Jackson last night. I don't even know if he played. It doesn't seem like it. I can't imagine that Jonathan Taylor wasn't spelled at all, but maybe someone else was kind of getting that work. But Jason's team's really banged up, and, you know, it's crazy because I couldn't believe, you know, just the injuries that Jason's going through right now with Leonard Fournette, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire just probably done for the year. Jerry Jeudy still not playing. He's going through it, but he still comes out with 101 points and a win. That's what fantasy football is. Just manufacture a win with whatever you can muster up, and it worked out for him this week. As far as Gage's team, a poor performance by his guys. One of the biggest duds of the week was Christian McCaffrey. Now, I'm not going to toot my own horn because he's had good games, especially that amazing game with the San Francisco 49ers where he threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, and rushed for a touchdown. So I can't, like, you know, I can't take a victory lap on this, but this is what I was afraid of. I mentioned this when he was still with the Panthers, and I wrestled with the idea that I don't think it's better for Christian McCaffrey to be on a good team as far as fantasy goes. There's just so many options. Because look, the 49ers won this game. I mean, they only scored 13 points, but they held the New Orleans to 0 points. There was just no need to really run Christian McCaffrey into the ground like the Panthers would have done. He was the focal point of the Panthers. There will be weeks and game plans where Christian McCaffrey is the focal point of the 49ers offense. But don't you think that opposing defenses will hone in on that and try to stop him first because he's so dynamic? You have Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk has broken out. He's the best receiver on that team. Deebo is kind of a gadget guy who can do everything. He's really good at football. But Ayuk is the better receiver. And then you got George Kittle. So Elijah Mitchell was taking a lot of snaps, and now it appears he's going to be gone for most of the season. He's injured again. Man, such a young guy. He just can't stay healthy. He's a good running back. Reminds me of like a early Joe Mixon, not really involved in the passing game, but a good runner. But Christian McCaffrey, yeah, this is what I was kind of concerned about. Some of these dud games where he's just not really needed and not the focal point of the offense. As far as your stud goes, I mean, you know, I'm going, it's between Chubb and Lamb. I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb. This is back-to-back weeks now having big games. 14 fantasy points, 6 for 106, no touchdowns, but 14 fantasy points from your wide receiver. One is fantastic. So crazy scenario here. You know, this is a philosophy question as far as fantasy goes. Gage leads his division right now. You know, by a decent margin. He's got a 2-game lead on Tom. Highly unlikely that Gage falls out of the playoff picture. He's only 6-6, though. It's a very interesting scenario because as of right now, if we played in a league with no divisions or maybe even 2 divisions, Gage would be out of the playoffs. So he's not having a particularly great season. I like his squad. That's the thing. And he's not like last in the league in points or something. He's up there. He's right in the middle of the pack. But it's just a crazy question. Like if Josh misses the playoffs this year, or I miss the playoffs this year with the amount of points I'm scoring, or Josh's record and he's putting up points, it'll feel kind of nasty for one of us. If Gage keeps losing and makes the playoffs, he could be in the playoffs with a sub 500 team, but because we have divisions, win your division you're in. I still think it's fun because it makes your divisional matchups that much more interesting, but just something I'm keeping my eye on. I'm you know, as a commissioner, I'm always willing to make changes if we need to. I'm not saying that Gage doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs. I think he drafted a heck of a team, and he does have a good squad, so I don't think he'd be like a first-round exit. But it's just interesting. I'm not sure I want teams with losing records in the playoffs. That doesn't seem correct to me, unless they're scoring like the most points in the league. But nonetheless, Gage moves to 6-6 on the year, and Jason 7-5 on the year. I'm coming for you. I want my playoff spot, damn it. Nice job, boys. All right, our next matchup is going to be Joe Chick, the Book of Samuel, taking on Tom, the Pillar of Fire. This was in contention for matchup of the week. A Build-A-Bear Bowl situation, if you will. However, Joe Chick's climbing out of that Build-A-Bear Bowl, man. I told you, his team's good. He was having a lot of bad luck. For what it's worth, the simulator, the power rankings, loved Joe Chick's team. It kept putting them towards the top of the list, rest of season rankings. And we were kind of scratching our head because he kept losing, but there's something to his team. They just keep putting up triple digits. And if you do that every week, you're going to have some of these blow-up games, 122 points from Joe Chick. Let's take a look at his squad. Miles Sanders gets it done on Sunday Night Football. Awesome. 29 fantasy points, 143-2. He's like a Josh Jacobs light. Those mid-tier running backs in the draft that I kind of try to stay away from because they're either really, really good running backs or they're going to lose their job. And both of those guys, I thought, you know, might be splitting work or end up losing their jobs, especially Josh Jacobs, man. They drafted a rookie running back. But these two guys, Jacobs and Sanders, have been phenomenal as far as mid-round running backs go in the fantasy draft. As far as your dud goes, Debo Samuel, concerning, just like Christian McCaffrey. They're kind of splitting duties. Not a overwhelming offensive performance by the 49ers. I'm sure Joe Chick will take it. A win is a win against the New Orleans Saints. Held the Saints to 0 points. So as a Niners fan, you're happy. As a fantasy football fan and a Debo Samuel owner, only 5 fantasy points. As far as Tom's team, 116 points is a very good effort. It was a close one. Your stud is going to be Christian Watson. Kind of happened late in the game, but 4 receptions, 110 yards, and 10 touchdowns. He's so dynamic. It reminds me of what Amon-Ra St. Brown did last year. He won people fantasy leagues more with the receptions. Christian Watson's getting it done with like yardage and touchdowns. As I said in Cliff Notes, I think that's 5 or 6 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. It's unbelievable, probably unsustainable, but it just keeps happening. If you get him the ball, he's so fast, he can just run to the end zone. As far as your dud, this one's easy. We talked about it already. Damian Pierce, oh man, that's hard to do. 8 yards, woo, 8 yards rushing. Don't know what to do with him. He's a good player in a tough situation. I feel like he's going to have to keep starting them. However, he had A.J. Dillon go off on his bench for the first time this season, 64 yards and a touchdown. Possibly a running back controversy on Tom's team. And Tom has now found himself deep into the playoff, into the Build-A-Bear Bowl. We'll talk about some of the other owners and managers that are involved with that as we move forward. But Tom moves to 4-8 on the season. And Joe Chick also 4-8. But has the points edge on most of the Build-A-Bear Bowl managers. So we'll keep our eyes on those matchups. Our next matchup is going to be Els Bells taking on Torres Falcons and Juan. Same old Falcons. Elliott takes the win 114-62. Let's take a peek at Elliott's team first. Definitely some duds in this tier. We'll talk about stud first in Justin Jefferson. This could be like 5 weeks in a row for him. I'm not sure. But 24 fantasy points on Thanksgiving night. 9 for 139 and a touchdown. Whew. Kid's great. Probably top three receiver in the league, especially for fantasy football. You know, besides Cooper Kupp getting injured, I still think he was on pace to be a better fantasy wide receiver. Just the situation seemed better. It looked like Stafford's going to be shut down this year. So, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but Justin Jefferson is going to be a very high top five pick in next year's fantasy draft. You can book that. He's going to take that Cooper Kupp spot. Wherever Cooper Kupp was drafted this year as the first wide receiver, Justin Jefferson is going to be there next year. You can believe that. As far as your dud goes, tough to give it to Travis Etienne. Weird situation there. Travis Etienne gets banged up, you know, gets looked at by the team, is cleared to come back. And it looked like he wanted to come back. He was standing on the sidelines, helmet in hand, pads still on. However, the team decided to just not put him back in the game. They didn't want to risk anything. To me, what's the risk once you're cleared to play? Like, who's clearing you to play? The team, right? I'll never understand that. I guess they maybe just want to do further testing, but the game was very close. It ended up being a last second situation for the Jaguars and Ravens. They could have used them. Jamichael Hasty came in and played pretty good as a receiving running back, but was awful on the ground. They could have had a nice little 1-2 punch there, but that was just so odd to me when teams clear a player to go back in and then they don't put him in. He's clearly the starter too. It's not like he's like a fringe bench guy. It's like, we'd rather just go with someone else. Like, no, he was needed. So, I mean, I guess I'll give him the dud just because of the team. Otherwise, your team didn't really have a dud. Will Lutz, it got you -1 point if you want to give a dud to a kicker. Let's take a look at Juan's team. Yikes. 62 fantasy points. Not great. As far as your stud goes, I guess we'll give it to a I got my alarm going off in my office here. Let me turn that off. As far as your stud goes, I'll give it to a kicker. Why not? Jason Sanders. Miami Dolphins, 3 for 3 on field goals, 3 for 3 extra points. You know, 13 fantasy points from your kicker, it does matter. As far as your duds go, man, oh man, how about the Rams boys? Allen Robinson, Tyler Higbee, combined for 0 fantasy points. Whew. Now, Allen Robinson did get hurt. I don't know what happened to Tyler Higbee. That team is an absolute mess. Don't start a single player from the Los Angeles Rams moving forward. Trust me. And that... I have Kyren Williams. I've been holding on to him for weeks, and he's going to be an emergency-only break-the-glass situation. I can't start anybody on that team, and that could be the only team in the NFL that just doesn't have a startable fantasy asset moving forward. I would drop them so you don't even think about starting them. That's not advice. That's just something I would do personally. Now, his bench wasn't much better. I just looked at his bench. He has 3 rostered tight ends: Tyler Higbee, Mike Gesicki, and Juwan Johnson. 3 very capable, possibly touchdown-dependent tight ends, but they've kind of been getting it done for fantasy, right? Tyler Higbee more with receptions, Juwan Johnson more with touchdowns, and Gesicki kind of in the middle. All 3 of those tight ends combined for 0 fantasy points. He is in big trouble. This is the position... advantage when you draft a Travis Kelce, because you go against tight ends like this. 3 formidable tight ends getting 0 points combined. So Juan moves to 3-9 on the season in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, while Elliott is who we thought he was, moves to 8-4 on the year, still putting up triple digits, 114 points. He finally got himself one of those easy wins that he wasn't getting early on. I know he was kind of pissed off. He was getting everybody's best effort. People scoring 140 on him, and he's scoring 136 type stuff. But here's a nice little easy win for you, L. Nice job. Next up is going to be the unstoppable Unleash the Beast taking on the Trophy Wife. And Alicia takes the win, 138-86, another blowout. Alicia, Oh my goodness, 11-1 on the season. What can we say? Josh Jacobs, 229 and 2 touchdowns. He had 74 receiving yards along with 6 receptions. He is now actually the RB1 on the year. I said RB2. He's the number one running back in fantasy football, even more than Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler, who both have played every game. Wow, what a world we're in. As far as your dud goes, I'm going to go Tyler Boyd. This is back-to-back weeks now, so it seems like the writing is on the wall. Bengals getting it done without Tyler Boyd. And, oh, by the way, Ja'Marr Chase is probably due to come back this coming week. I believe he was close to playing this week, but just couldn't get on the field. They're taking it easy. They're playing with house money at this point because they're winning without Chase. So I think they're looking more towards NFL playoffs. So Tyler Boyd, I think it's going to be one of those situations, though. When Ja'Marr Chase comes back, I think Tyler Boyd's value, as far as fantasy goes, will actually increase. Because I do think he'll be more of a guy in the slot, you know, used on, you know, third down. I think he'll just be used correctly. He's not used to being the number two guy, and I think in the end it'll hurt Hayden Hurst's numbers as far as the tight end goes, who's having a decent little season and back-to-back decent weeks for Hurst. So you put up 138. Woo! Big week. Trophy wife stinks. Not you. You don't stink. It just stinks, the situation. I know how much you love fantasy, how much this means to you, and to see your team only put up 86 and, you know, some of it due to injury, it just stinks. I totally get it. As far as your stud goes, Geno Smith. You can't expect much more from a waiver wire type quarterback. He's been having a great season. Every single week, he's putting up fantasy points as a quarterback. 19 fantasy points, 328 and 2 touchdowns. You know, obviously Austin Eckler did Eckler things with 19 fantasy points. As far as your duds go, we can go a number of different directions here. Not sure what you expected from DeMarcus Robinson. I thought he'd have a better game in a shootout. He was supposed to be the wide receiver one there. I don't really even know who caught passes for the Ravens, because Mark Andrews didn't have a great day either. He dropped a touchdown. So I haven't looked at the game log yet, but geez, the Ravens, not looking great. But Damian Harris gets injured again for you. I know he's burned you multiple times this year. I'm sorry I traded him to you. I didn't know this would happen. but one fantasy point looked like he's going to be gone for a while. And George Kittle, once again, I don't know really who had value for the San Francisco 49ers, but they got the win. Only 4 fantasy points for George Kittle. So trophy wife moves to 4-8, heavily involved in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, while Unleash the Beast just cruising, 11-1, still by far the best record in all of my leagues. Just having a phenomenal year. Let's see if she can put it all together in the playoffs. She'll need 2 wins in the playoffs. She's got a bye week locked up, 2 wins, and she will be the Marvel Fantasy Football Champion. Not to jinx you or anything. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And our last matchup is going to be Chris Roach with the BV Bar Wenches taking on Corrado's Bathroom Hand Jobs. And Chris Roach takes the win handedly, 122-87. Let's take a look at the teams. Stud, Justin Herbert. It's good to see him in the studs category. Finally, I think it all ties in to Keenan Allen. This is the Justin Herbert we've kind of expected all year. Patrick Mahomes type numbers in efficiency, and he's doing it now that he has Keenan Allen back, his safety valve, along with Austin Eckler. So, you know, that team's going to be making a little push, and I think this is the perfect time for Justin Herbert to get hot for Chris's team. Chris is having a great season. 28 fantasy points for Justin Herbert, 274 yards and 3 touchdowns. as far as your dud goes, you didn't really have anybody that smoked you, to be honest. Now, I do think Josh Palmer was expected to have a better game. DeAndre Carter kind of took over the wide receiver two role just for this game. I still think Josh Palmer's the wide receiver two moving forward, but only 8 fantasy points. He's been having really good weeks without Mike Williams. So I think the expectation was going to be a better game for him. And alongside Tony Pollard, who only got you 7 points, Tony Pollard's been going bonkers lately, but Zeke is back. So, you know, listen to what the team is telling you. This is the same situation with Josh and the Cardinals and James Conner. The team owner came out and said that Zeke Elliott is our running back one. So now you're going to still start Tony Pollard because he had a great game last week when Zeke came back. But it's expected now that they're splitting. They paid Zeke a lot of money. And for what it's worth, he is a better pass blocker. So on third downs, you're going to see a lot of Zeke in there. If it's not a pass play to the running back, which he can still catch passes, you're going to see Zeke in there blocking for Dak to throw. And he's just going to be on the field more than Tony Pollard. And how about those goal line rushes? Anytime you're at the, 5-yard line or closer, expect Zeke to be in there because that's what he does. He's the bowling ball. He's the thunder. And Tony Pollard is the between the 20s lightning, he's the perfect second down running back, possibly even first down, because the teams don't know what they're going to do, throw to him or let him rush the ball. Tony Pollard is dynamic, but he's one of your duds this week. As far as bathroom hand jobs, oh boy, he's still starting Russell Wilson. I think single-handedly Russell Wilson ended Corrado's Marvel year this year. 8 fantasy points. It's just one of those situations. He has not found a quarterback to fill that void yet. He's still starting him. Corrado finds himself second to last place in the league record-wise. He does have 100 more points than Juan, who is in last place. So as of right now, Juan would be taking a bear to the restaurant. But Corrado does find himself in a situation where if Juan were to sneak in another win here, And Corrado takes another loss, he's going to be taking a bear to the restaurant and out to lunch and a date night, and it's going to be interesting to see. Now, I do think Corrado's team was a little banged up here. Joe Mixon out. He had Trevor Lawrence on his bench who kind of went off. Would have been a nice little difference maker. But we'll see what happens moving forward. Now, Wilson was your dud. As far as your stud goes, Chris Godwin, good to see him kind of taking his role back. 12 receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown. So that's back-to-back weeks with a touchdown for Chris Godwin. Corrado moves to 3-9 on the season. And Chris Roach, the inverse, is 9-3 on the season. Locked up a playoff spot, possibly going for that second bye week. It looks like that is a foregone conclusion. He is ahead of Gage, who is the other division leader. We know Alicia's getting a bye week. It looks like Chris Roach will be getting the second bye week. Stay tuned for our league power rankings. All right, our league power rankings are in. The simulator has spoken. Now remember, these are rest of season power rankings. They're not taking into account past performances or record, I do believe. It's literally just, here's your squad. Where does it stack up against everyone else's team for the rest of the season, which is only a couple weeks? I think we got 3 weeks left. So take it for what it is, but this is a surprising one. Even in a winning fashion at number 12, Yeeters Skeeters is now the last ranked team rest of season. They do not like his team. They, meaning the simulation, injuries, the fact that he had to start Deion Jackson, who had 0 points. I think he snuck out a nice win this week on the back of Josh Allen. Maybe he can continue to do this, but at number 12, Yeeters Skeeters. Crazy to see that. Juan was there for 5-6 weeks in a row. At number 11, you would think it's Torres Falcons, but it's not. It's Tom Beggs, Pillar of Fire, now ranked 11. At number 10 is Torres Falcons, so I don't know what's going on with Juan's team. A little surge somehow, even though he only scored 60-something points this week. Simulator likes his matchups maybe going forward. Next up at number 9, Bathroom Handjobs. At number 8, The Trophy Wife. At number 7, The Book of Samuel. So they have him as a 7th-ranked team in the league. Again, a lot of bad luck for Joe Chick in his matchups, but he's scoring points. At number 6, the BV Bar Wenches. This one's a little shocker. I think he's got a really good squad with Ja'Marr Chase coming back and Justin Herbert kind of hitting his stride lately. Not sure, again, and this is where he was ranked last week too. They have him ranked at a number 88 out of 100. So interesting. At number 5, Dawson Knox's Creek. So Josh's team takes the loss. I still think his squad is deep. Great wide receivers, you know, I say above average running backs. So I like his team as well. At number 4, bye week, Gage. At number 3, Mr. Fahrenheit. So I was 2nd last week. I took a win and moved down. I don't know. Maybe it has to do with my tight end situation. I really don't have a good tight end. Number 2, Unleash the Beast. So she's back up. She was down, I think, at number 4 last week for some reason. She's all the way back up at number 2. And for what, the 13th, maybe 12th week in a row, Els Bells, number 1, ranked 100. So I think that's the bell curve there. Oh my goodness. Els Bells, bell curve. He's 100. My goodness. It was always there. But anyway, those are the power rankings. Good luck in week 13. I think we got 2 regular season weeks left before playoffs start, right? Week 13, 14, and then the 3 playoff weeks are 15, 16, 17. Yep, 2 more regular season weeks, which means 2 more weeks for the podcast. If you want to jump on the podcast with me, let me know, you know, as early as Sunday morning, you know, previous to me recording, and we can hook up, do a quick little podcast together. It doesn't take too long. I have a format for when I have a guest on, which I haven't had a guest on this year yet. So if you'd like to be a guest, it'll be fun. Come on in, take your shoes off, wipe your feet. We've talked about this. Let me know. Enjoy the week, everyone, and we'll see you in week 13.